Getting sober requires a lot more than mind over matter, a lot more than willpower. It's about leveraging the support around you. People in recovery typically need a mix of medical help, emotional support, and changes in lifestyle to manage their addiction, not just mental determination. As both a therapist and someone embracing the recovery lifestyle, there's one tool I always recommend to people needing extra accountability: SoberLink. SoberLink is a high-tech breath analyzer system designed to help you get and stay sober. And here's why I love it. You'll test the same day every day, eliminating testing anxiety. Friends and family receive instant test results, helping you rebuild trust and preventing relapse. Accountability is a part of that, and it's something to really be embraced. Devices have built-in facial recognition, so your support circle knows you're testing, and tamper-resistant sensors flag any attempts at trying to beat the system, so your sobriety is never questioned. So let 2024 be your best year yet. Visit soberlink.com/TAM to sign up and receive $50 off your device. That's soberlink.com/TAM. And let accountability be your guide.
It's Patricia Karpus, host of Untangle, the award-winning podcast that covers topics like optimizing brain health, finding your purpose, how to sleep better, harnessing the power of anxiety, successfully changing habits, finding more happiness and joy, and overall, all the many ways to live your best life. If you enjoy hearing from thought leaders, neuroscientists, psychologists, nutritionists, business leaders, and more, join us wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to the Addicted Mind Plus, the podcast where recovery, mental health, and wellness take the front seat. I'm Dwayne Osterlund, and joining me is my co-host, Eric Osterlund, known for his insightful work on the Stuck Brain podcast. In each episode, we'll dive into actionable small steps to help those in recovery journey further along the path to wellness. Our conversations are designed to be concise, typically around 15 minutes, though we may occasionally delve deeper when the topic demands it. Our goal: to provide you with practical advice grounded in real experiences and expert insights to empower your recovery journey. So whether you're on a break, on a walk, or just taking a moment for yourself, join us as we explore the many facets of recovery and mental health, one small step at a time. This is The Addicted Mind Plus, where your journey to wellness gets an extra boost. So let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Addicted Mind Plus. I'm with my co-host, Eric Osterlund from the Stuck Brain podcast.
Hello, I'm glad to be here. I'm excited for this episode.
Yeah, me too. So today we're going to talk about language, the power of language to build resilience, and we're really going to talk about our internal dialogue and self-talk. And this is a small step we can take that can have a big impact on our recovery and well-being and our mental health. It's something we can change. It's in our power to shift. So in this episode, we're going to talk about what is internal dialogue and self-talk. It's slightly different from like the spoken word, and why language is so important to us and how that influences us, and how language self-talk creates our narrative for the world and how we interact with that, and how it helps us build resilience to challenges and break the cycle of addiction by changing our language, by changing our self-talk. And we'll talk about a few things that get us stuck and some common myths about language and how it interacts with us. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, I think we should dive in because this is a pretty big topic and we want to get it to them in 15 minutes. So let's start. Go for it.
All right. So we're going to talk about our internal monologue, the conversation we have with ourselves. Our inner monologues are expressed in words, while thoughts can have like a form or image or emotion. This is the conversation we have with ourselves.
Yeah.
Where thoughts can be a little more abstract and varied in nature, this is when we're actually talking to ourselves. And I know, you know, when I'm in stressful situations or something is overwhelming, or I feel maybe someone, I'm angry at somebody because it's something they've done, and I'll have a conversation with myself about it. And I'll actually play the conversation out. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even like talking to myself, you know, Dwayne, this is a time that you need to have some courage. This is a time that you need to just sit with your feelings. I'm having that internal dialogue with myself. And it's expressed in words, and the language we choose can have a huge impact on that.
Huge impact.
And so our inner monologues are like those verbal conversations with ourselves, and our thoughts are more abstract and varied in nature and don't necessarily have a monologue that goes with them. So it's important to make that distinction between those two parts.
And I'm glad you did. The reason why we're making that distinction is because each type, like a thought, an internal dialogue or narrative, you deal with differently. Thoughts just pop in. They sometimes have no meaning, or they have an image, and you can kind of just let them go and have a mindfulness approach. Narrative and internal dialogue, we want to treat differently, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I also want to talk about, I want to make sure we differentiate. We're not talking about, when we say internal dialogue or internal speech, we're not talking about like schizophrenia where people hear outside voices that aren't their own. That's a completely different thing. Right.
Yeah, I think that's an important distinction. We have a relationship with the self, and so we're communicating with the self. And the language we use has such a crucial role in regulating our emotions.
Yeah.
Right? Our inner speech. It's the voice in our head that interprets our experiences, guides our actions, and influences us on how we feel about ourselves and the world around us. So it's important to be aware of how that dialogue is taking place. Because the way we have that dialogue is going to impact how we respond to it, how we feel about it,
yeah,
how we react to the emotional responses of it, the judgments we make, and that's going to actually influence our behavior. That's going to influence how we show up in the world. So if our internal dialogue pushes us in a direction that doesn't help us, we need to be able to shift that. And you know, I've seen that in my own life, and I've seen that in all the people I work with. That internal dialogue can send us down a path that is just very destructive and not very strategic. And we want to move to being strategic in our choices so we create the life that we want.
Yes, I agree absolutely. And I'm glad you're talking about this, because now we're talking about the why this is important. We talked about what it is, and now we're into the why. And all these things that you've hit is strong. And the more, the way we frame the world is how we see the world. Two people could have one similar experience, and each person can interpret it differently. And that's reality, right?
Yeah. And then respond completely different to it as well. And one person can respond to it in a way that brings more mental wellness and life wellness to them. And another person can respond to that event in a way that actually makes things worse for them.
Yes.
And so it's so important to understand the role of inner speech in how we show up. I think one of the ways that I see this is like when we look at like self-comfort and reassurance, right? So when we're faced with stress or adversity, the nature of our inner speech can really determine our emotional resilience.
Yeah.
You know, telling ourselves, I can handle this, or this is tough, but I'll get through it, really helps foster that sense of resilience and self-compassion. And that reassurance, even though it's not going to change the situation completely, but it's smoothing over our anxious minds, reducing feelings of stress and overwhelm.
Yeah.
So that we can respond better.
Yeah. I mean, a perfect example, I had a client that went through a pretty traumatic event, kidnapping. And the way she looked at it was, that was an intense experience. It was difficult to deal with. But she goes, I think I'm going to write a book about it. Like, I want to tell people my experience.
Right.
And that frame, like she looked at it completely different than other people would have looked at it. And that narrative that she was telling herself about it changed how she processed it. And it wasn't, it actually made her have more calm feelings around the intense experience that she went through.
Right. It enables us to reframe negative experiences.
Yeah.
So our internal dialogue helps us to reframe and reinterpret that experience, which your client did, and actually made something out of it by having that dialogue. So by altering our inner narrative from a negative to a more positive or maybe even realistic one, we end up shifting our emotional responses to these experiences. And like you were saying, viewing a challenging situation as an opportunity for growth rather than a threat that just elicits more feelings of fear and anxiety, and we can shift those and we can move those. So I think that's another important aspect of our internal dialogue, our narrative that we want to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. And our narrative and the way we use language can keep us stuck. So if I say like, I can't afford this, my thought process is done. I've stopped thinking. But if I say, how can I afford this? It's changed it. And now I'm growing and I'm thinking of ways to figure out how I can afford this item. That's just one example, but there's others.
I think your example is really important. It's simple, but it really shows the power of how we can be when we shift our internal dialogue. Because one statement, I can't, automatically means you're trapped, you're stuck. Yeah. The one how, by changing it to how, all of a sudden you've opened yourself up to possibilities, more insight, more ability to self-reflect on the situation and get more information. And it really helps with that curiosity piece. And we talk about that in another episode you can go back to about curiosity. And so our self-talk can help that process. And it helps us understand like maybe why we feel a certain way, consider different perspectives. And this introspection can lead to like greater emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. And once again, as I was saying earlier, improved emotion regulation.
Yeah. Did we talk about managing impulses or reactions? Because it can also do with that.
No, we should talk about that. Go.
Okay. So one of the things that changing your narrative can help with is managing your impulses and reactions. And so how does that do that? Basically, when you start to change your narrative, you can put space between your emotion and your reaction. You can actually start to place time in there to think and reflect on your narrative before you react on it. And this also involves curiosity, like we talked about before in the other podcast. They go together. But when you change that narrative, you can change the cons that you're experiencing into pros, and it can really help with decisions and regulating our emotion responses effectively, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it helps us regulate. I know we were going to move on, but I want to put one more in there. I think it's really critical.
Absolutely.
And our internal dialogue so much affects our self-identity and our belief systems. Oftentimes, if we've grown up in an environment that is traumatic or negative, our belief systems and our automatic internal dialogue goes to a negativity, and which is self-defeating. So by shifting our internal dialogue slowly over time, just in small steps, we change our self-identity, we change our beliefs. And with new beliefs, we can do so many other things. Sometimes we just have to believe we can do it, and we'll accomplish it, and we'll be able to get out there. We'll be able to change our life in a way that really feels good to us. So I think that was an important part to put in.
I'm glad you did, because that just made me think and I want to be clear about this. Sometimes we don't even know what narrative is running in the background.
Yes.
Right? So that's kind of what you're saying. You could have this childhood trauma, and then you're all of a sudden just running this narrative in your background, like an operating system that you didn't even know was operating on your computer. So you want to be curious about that, so you can figure out, what is it, my operating narrative that's just running in the background? And then you can start to change that narrative that runs, like changing code to a program.
Yeah. And that can have such long-term impacts. I think of like the analogy of the plane that's flying somewhere. And if you just put it off 1 degrees, 1,000 miles from there, it's going to be in a completely different location. And that's what we're talking about. Just moving 1 degrees over. And just by changing a word in a statement of how we talk to ourselves can have that impact. I think some of the things that come up though, that kind of hold us back, are some of the myths that we hold and some of the belief systems that I've seen. And one of them comes from, you know, that only strong and hard language is what we have to use to make real change. We have to be hard on ourselves to make real change. We don't need to have strong and hard language to make real change. Actually, I think self-compassionate language is going to get us a lot farther.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. And that kind of leads into what you talked about earlier. One of the other myths is that simple language changes are insignificant, like it doesn't matter. And we just know that's not true, right? Changing "I can't" to "how I can't afford this" to "how can I afford this," or "I can't do this" to "how can I learn to do this." That small 1 to 2 word change, you've already shifted your perspective. So that isn't true. You don't have to change much to change your narrative. And like you said with the plane analogy, just 1 degree. 1 degree every day, and you're going to be in a different zone.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing I hear too is like changing self-talk doesn't affect circumstances. And while that's true in the moment, just because we say something doesn't mean it's not true. I mean, bad things do happen and we have to acknowledge that those hard things are there. But if we change our language, we're changing the outcome down the road, like we said. It may not affect the circumstances right in this moment, but it can impact how we feel about this moment and how we respond to this moment, even if it's hard, even if it's bad, even if it really sucks. But doing that helped, it impacts our mindset and approach to challenges and ultimately leading to better coping strategies and outcomes.
Absolutely. And we see that. We see that with time. The key is there, just time, it changes.
Yeah.
Let's get into some roadblocks. What are some things that people struggle with that stop them?
Yeah, you know, we are creatures of habit, and even our internal dialogue is a habit.
Yep.
We have a habitual way of talking to ourselves, and so we have to slip out of those old language habits and realize, like, this takes a concerted effort to change our dialogue. It's simple. It's a small step, but we need to be consistent about this small step to be able to move forward. But, you know, we're going to fall back into old habits, and we have to be kind to ourselves and kind of like go, okay, let me get back on the road here.
Yeah. And that's why pilots check their navigation every few minutes, because they want to make sure they're on track. And so it's the same thing with this. Just start checking your habits and, oh, you'll fall off the path. Oh, readjust. This is where I want to go, kind of thing.
Totally. And I think just feeling overwhelmed by negative emotions. Some of our old language habits are the way we tried to cope, maybe not successfully, but we really tried to cope with them. And so our negative emotions kind of push us back into these old habits. So we have to be aware of that, regulate that, keep moving forward, keep taking that step forward, and just realizing, like, that's one of the challenges.
Yeah. And the other challenge is lack of immediate results. I see this so often. People want the results right away.
Yeah.
I change it to how I should have this. And it doesn't work like that. It takes a little bit of time. So just know that if you're struggling in the beginning and you're not getting results right away, that's okay. That's where you're supposed to be. That's the beginning stages. So just kind of accept it and be like, yep, I'm playing the long game, is the kind of attitude you want to have. I'm playing the long game, and I will see results from this downstream.
And right there is a shift in language, right? Right there is a change. And one of the other challenges I see is integrating this positive language into deeply rooted beliefs. Sometimes we're so convinced our beliefs are accurate.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't even realize we have those beliefs until we explore them and we're more curious about them. Mm-hmm. But putting positive language into that belief system in the beginning, it can feel a little awkward. It can feel like this isn't genuine. It can feel kind of weird, but you can do it and you got to stick with that.
Absolutely. Just keep going.
All right. So it looks like we're coming up on our time here. Remember, every journey begins with a small step, and that is what we are providing you today with. One small, simple step for your recovery. And also, if you haven't listened to the episode about curiosity, go to theaddictedmind.com and listen to that conversation on curiosity and emotional stability. I think it'll be really helpful. I think it'll help you in your recovery journey. And lastly, if you want more information, you have a topic that you want to know more about, contact us. Once again, you can reach out to us at The Addicted Mind on Instagram or join our Facebook group. Just go to Facebook, type in The Addicted Mind Podcast, click join, and reach out to us, and we'll try and get those topics onto this. And I also say, if you got a lot out of this episode and you think someone else would, share it with a friend.
Absolutely.
All right, everyone. We'll talk to you on the next episode of The Addicted Mind Plus.
See you on the next episode.
Thank you for tuning into The Addicted Mind Plus. We hope today's episode has brought you valuable insights and a small step to support your journey in recovery, mental health, and wellness. For more information about this episode and additional resources, please visit our website at theaddictedmind.com/plus. And if there's a topic you're eager to hear about or a question you'd like us to explore, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us at theaddictedmind.com and let us know your thoughts. Your journey is important, and we're here to support you every step of the way. Until next time, take care and keep stepping forward on your path to wellness.
I'm Madeline, and I'm the host of the Happiest Sober podcast. I got sober in my 20s after a decade of gray area drinking, and the greatest plot twist of all time was realizing that alcohol, the thing that I thought made my life the most happy and fun and exciting, was actually the exact thing preventing me from living my happiest and best life. My mom is 40 years sober, and she joins me on my podcast very often. I like to call her my part-time co-host, and I also bring you solo episodes where I share my top tips, tricks, and mindset shifts in sobriety, and lots of how-tos for navigating all the things sober, from weddings to parties to holidays to bachelorette parties to trips. I'm also joined by so many guests who come on and share their sober stories, and they're all so, so inspiring. I'm here to show you that life doesn't end when you quit drinking. In fact, it's very much the opposite. And no matter what your relationship was with alcohol, life can be the absolute happiest when you're sober. New episodes come out every Tuesday. You can listen to Happiest Sober podcast wherever you get your podcasts.